This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
This is your show host for Catitude, Michelle Byrne, and I want to tell you a little bit about our show coming up. So this woman is a personal trainer, an actor, and sort of new cat rescuer. So I don't know how she went from personal trainer to actor and now cat rescuer, but we're going to find out. And she has some really funny performances we could talk about that are cat related. I will introduce her right after the break. We'll be right back.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray. Or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Go to kittypooclub.com, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Cindy DeAndrea. She is, as I said, personal trainer, actor, and cat rescuer. So, welcome, Cindy.
Thank you, Michelle. So, actually, I've been a cat rescuer for almost 25 years.
Oh, so not new.
Not new. Okay.
But let's go way, way back.
Okay.
You were an actor and a fitness guru before you went into rescuing cats.
Well, yeah. So I became a personal trainer when I was living in New York City, like over 30 years ago. I taught aerobics and did personal training and, you know, went to the Hamptons in the summer and all that kind of stuff. But I was still always pursuing my acting career. And most people know how that goes. You have to have another job. So, you know, I had another job, and that was personal training and teaching aerobics classes. So always studying acting, always doing the personal training. And then when I moved to California, that's when I first started to get into the whole cat rescue thing. And that was because I was making very bad choices in relationships and just really, as I say in my solo show, searching for love in all the wrong places. And I was really at a very low point in my life. And I called my best friend and she told me to get a cat.
So you're in a bad part of your kind of a challenging part of life and things are going, you know, difficult. And between both of your areas of expertise, personal trainer and actor, you know, you're generally self-employed. Well, until you, you know, acting, until you have your play, movie, commercial, whatever you're doing. And so stressful enough. And then on top of that, she's saying, just get a cat. That'll fix it all.
I mean, it really is. And it was a dark place. And she did say that. I mean, she had compassion for me, of course. But yeah, things were not going well, not in my acting career, not in my relationships. But she is my best friend. And
let me just add this. I didn't mean to say anything bad about your friend. I'm just
saying
that there's a lot of interesting things about cats. They can do amazing things, but that's interesting that she said it. So why?
I know. And I was in complete denial about the whole cat thing because I had had some tragedies with animals when I was a kid. And I just completely disassociated from animals and I didn't even realize it. So for her to intuitively say that to me when I was like ready to end my life, so to speak, and, you know, is just incredibly intuitive. And so I had a personal training client here in LA, and she worked with Best Friends Animal Society, and she was just this amazing rescuer. And every time I went over to her house to train her, she had these three kittens, and they would come around. And so I was pretty fascinated. So I asked her if she would help me get a cat. And we went to the shelter, and I had my first experience of, you know, lots and lots of cats that need homes.
Let's talk about your first experience with cats, because I have a lot of opinions and everything. And I was new to the cat world too, because I didn't grow up with cats. So you're in there, your first experience with cats. I don't know, you didn't grow up with cats, right?
No, we had two cats, but tragedy occurred. Right. Yeah.
So what was your thought when you got in with, you know, into the rescue place and there's all these cats?
Well, luckily, we went to an organization through the shelter with the vet's office. So they put me in a room and started bringing all of the cats into me. But the first experience of being in a shelter with homeless cats everywhere is a daunting experience. And I didn't realize until I started volunteering at the shelter what actually goes on. So I was very naive about the whole process. Just a real sort of wow. And then I started learning.
It's a lot. I never went to a shelter to adopt any of my cats. They found me.
Yeah.
When I moved, they found me. And there was more than one. And, you know, I live in this place. It's warm weather all year long. So it's just crazy. But I've been to shelters and I've been to cat cafes where they're not homeless, but you have, you know, a lot of cats around you all of a sudden. And it can make for an interesting experience. So what were your thoughts too? I need to adopt a cat. Did you decide then? Did you do some more?
Yes, I decided then because they brought in these kittens and my friend, personal training client, told me it's better to adopt two kittens instead of one. And
smart lady.
Yes, very smart, very smart. And, you know, I'll flash forward after I flash backward, but you know, all of her advice was, I mean, advice that I still tell people 28 years later. Wow. Because that was in 1997 that I adopted Tabitha and Samantha. And I did everything that she told me to do, put them in a separate room for, you know, introduce certain rooms in the apartment just for 10 minutes and then put them back in the bathroom. And I talk about all of this in my shows, and I do it in an entertaining way so it doesn't feel like people are preaching, but that was the way, like how she taught me to raise these 2 8-week-old kittens. They never scratched the furniture. They never peed. I mean, they were just really, really good. And then I felt so in love and healed that I wanted everybody else to have this feeling. So I started volunteering for Best Friends Animal Society, and I volunteered for them for almost 20 years. So we did they taught me the TNR. We also did super adoptions where there were like 65 rescue organizations and I handled all the cats. We also did a fundraiser called the Lint Roller Party. So, and at the same time as I was volunteering for them, people started calling me and saying, I have a mama cat and six kittens in my backyard. Can you help me to trap them? So I became my own like non-501c3. It was like all my own money. And I just started trapping, just like you said, off of the streets. So
once you start, you get word of mouth and you start.
Oh, yeah.
grows and grows and grows.
Absolutely. Really, people would say to me, "Hi, Cindy, how are your cats?" Because they knew that I was so, you know, in love with my cats. And then they would be, "Oh, I have this friend that has this." So, and in Los Angeles, the problem is just absolutely overwhelming because the weather is nice. There's lots of places to hide. It's, you know, it's rural. It is just an overwhelming situation. So I did everything that I could to trap as many cats as I could. And then when I had what we call foster failure, then my two cats turned into four cats. So basically I raised my four cats, Spencer, Tallulah, Samantha, and Tabitha. And also adhering to that you never leave food out, that you feed them the same times each day, which tied me into coming home every day at 5 o'clock at night. Wherever I was, I would rush home to feed my cats, and then I just end up staying home. So I didn't have much of a social life, but I didn't care because I was so happy just being at home with my cats, you know, and helping other people. And then I got to the point where I knew that at some point my cats were not going to be with me. And I started thinking, well, my acting career, there's not much going on there.
Cindy, these have been amazing stories, and I don't know how you got two angel cats because I've worked on mine many times. Scratching isn't the problem. One, I call her misunderstood. No matter what, there's bathroom issues. But we're going to talk more about what you've done with cats as far as your acting career. So we're going to be right back after this break.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray. Or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? Kitty Poo Club has solved the stink. And now the worst part of cat ownership is hassle-free. No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. And the best thing is, you don't have to buy some oversized contraption that will break down. Kitty Poo Club litter boxes are manufactured to make your life easier. You have one cat? Easy peasy. A small mountain lion? No problem. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Believe me, there are good reasons why we sold over 3 million boxes. Go to kittypooclub.com, read the amazing reviews, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com. Use code MEOW30 at checkout and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Cindy DeAndrea. She is a personal trainer, actor, and a cat rescuer for 28 years. And she's not recent, but she'll let us know. So she's done some performances. Cindy, you meshed your love for cats with acting. And
right.
How did you do that?
So there was a time, it was about almost 10 years ago, actually, that I started anticipating that possibly my cats were not going to be with me forever. I had four, and that I wanted to sort of get back to doing some of the things that I put on hold, such as acting. And anybody knows who knows, you know, when you come to Los Angeles to pursue your acting career, it doesn't always go the way that you hoped it went. And so I started thinking like two things, there were three things actually. One, that my cats were gonna probably be soon passing away. Two, that I wanted to get acting work, and I wasn't getting acting work, so I was going to need to create that myself. And three, that I still wanted to be in the rescue volunteer for cats in some aspect, maybe not being on the streets, you know, through midnight and having fireworks thrown at me and stuff like that. But yeah, but I, because it's dangerous. It's a dangerous, there's really rough neighborhoods where there's a lot of cats. So it's tough, you know, it's just a tough thing to do. And there's tons of amazing people that take care of our community cats and feed them and trap them and all of that. So I was wanting to kind of just back off from the extreme rescue, but still be an educator. So I started writing solo shows. And my first show was in 2016, and it was called Cataholics. So I put myself in like a 12-step meeting for people that just can't live with just one cat. And then my second show was called It's Easier to Love a Cat, and that was in 2018. And then in 2019, I had a show called Cat Shit Crazy. And so Cat Shit Crazy won a few awards, and now I'm revamping it and going to be taking it to Edinburgh, Scotland this August for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Congratulations. So, that's fabulous.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is the largest theater festival in the world. So after doing several shows here in Los Angeles, and I'm still going to do a few shows here before I go to Edinburgh, I got to teach people in a way that is comedic and funny, you know, just we call it edutainment, because at the same time as you're entertaining, you're educating, but they don't feel like you're preaching to them. And people have learned so much, and they come up to me after the shows and they all want to tell me about their cat stories. And even, you know, even if they love dogs and not cats, it doesn't matter. You know, animal lovers are animal lovers. And I was able to give some of my partial proceeds to an organization. So that's the other thing I want to do, is to be able to raise money so that I can focus on one or two rescue organizations and then give to them. So I'm looking at several places in Edinburgh that I can, you know, because they don't have the problem that we have in Los Angeles, but they still have homeless cats, and
they're everywhere. I've had several cat experts that are from the UK on the show over the years, and not as much of a problem, but there's also more places, I think, because there's so much country there, cats can hide. And there are also a lot of people have indoor outdoor cats, especially in the UK. I don't know about Scotland.
Yes,
part of the UK. So, but yeah, there you have indoor outdoor cats. So that's much more common there than it is in the US. Maybe due to weather, I have no idea.
Well, I think, and they also just have a, you know, people have different, they just have different ways of viewing pets.
If it's different, it's not. I think
that's
in the US, and oh, I hope people listening across the seas, I love you. I love Europe. I love everything that's different about Europe and other countries than the US, because I just I appreciate it all. But I think in the US, we're like pet parents, where, you know, we make the cats and dogs, our pets, our babies. And I think there's just a little bit less of a mindset there, like not bad, but I see poor people sell, you know, more cat clothes in the US than I've seen in any other country. That's what I'm getting at.
So yes, right.
It's more, we're more extreme and like a little, I'm going to say for me, a little crazy to have. Like, why do I need 6 cat fountains? I don't know. They all want a different one, and one wants this. Why do I need? I have, you know how you the rule, one more litter box. I have like 3 more. Why? But
yeah,
we're nuts here. So they're realistic over in the UK and in Europe, I think, as far as with their, you know, their fur babes. And I know they call their pet parents there and all of that. But I want you to share some of your stories, because I heard you have a lot of great rescue stories and volunteer life, volunteer life in LA stories. Can you share a couple of those?
Well, I think one of the, there was a man who worked as a housekeeper for one of my clients, and he lives in a very not great section of LA. And I taught him how to trap cats and keep them contained by feeding them, trapping them. So I have spent many years going over to Ivan's house. And one of the times I went over to Ivan's, he had three kittens in the backyard amidst all the other cats that we had trapped and fixed. But he was feuding with his neighbor next door, because this is what happens sometimes, that, you know, you're leaving food out, you're leaving water and shelter for the cats so that they stay contained and they don't go wandering and you get them fixed. But this time the landlord came, the landlord's son came, the landlord's daughter-in-law came, and started screaming at us and screaming at Ivan. And then she took the hose and she sprayed the cats, the food, the litter, everything.
And that's disgusting.
Yeah, because she didn't want. So I'm trying to tell her, I'm trying to explain to her the importance of what her tenant is doing. And English isn't her first language, so her son was translating. And finally, she got in her car and she left. And Ivan and I started trapping the kittens. But then the neighbor next door, this guy, started throwing rocks at the kittens.
Oh my God, what's wrong with people?
I know. So these are the kinds of things that are just like crazy. So the kittens went under the fence to the next door neighbors, and they were sort of hiding underneath his truck. And he just started taking rocks and just throwing rocks. So I went next door and knocked on the neighbor's door and spoke to his wife and basically said, you know, I'm Cindy. I'm trying to trap these cats. Can you please tell your husband to stop throwing rocks at these cats, because these kittens, because we're never going to be able to trap them or find them homes. So she screamed at her husband, and her husband went back inside. So at least we got to trap the kittens. But that whole situation, fast forward to 8 years later now, there's been so much tension that my dear friend got put in jail for having a fist fight with this guy, because he still never stopped sort of abusing the cats. Once the feral cats, so it's adult cats. The adult cats, if they're feral, we get them fixed and then we put them back, make sure they have food and water and shelter. With the kittens, I would take them to my home. I would put them in my bathroom. You know, they always had fleas. They always have worms, gooky eyes, you know, the whole thing.
They have to be separate from your cats because you don't know what's going on.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah. And I say all this in my show. I'm like, sorry, Samantha and Tabitha, they won't be here for long. And then I'd have like foster failures, and then they would be within the house. But for the kittens, they're easier to domesticate. But even at 8 weeks old, you know, after they've, you never take them away from their mom. So you have to wait until they're finished feeding off of the mom. And then you can take them away and start to domesticate them. Just this, a year ago, April, we had seven cats that were right off of a very busy street, which is SoFi Stadium. So the big $5 billion stadium that was built that the LA Rams play in. Right across the street from that were seven cats just running around abandoned buildings and everything. But the neighbors were feeding them. And there were six kittens and two moms, and we never saw the dads. But this was one of the easiest rescues that I ever had because the neighbors were out and sort of friendly. The kittens were, and the cats and the adult cats, the moms were also friendly. So we didn't even have to do the TNR. We could just pick them up put them in the carriers. But the other thing with that is that here in LA, if you don't bring a cat in a trap, then you don't get the free spay and neuter. So I had to pay to get all the seven cats fixed because they wouldn't. Yeah, so that
expensive,
even the low cost. And then you call the rescue organizations and ask them, you know, can you show my cat, my kittens at the PetSmart and the Petco? Can you show them at your pet adoption events? It's a really long process and it takes a lot of patience.
You shared two rescue stories. And I just have to say this because, you know, I'm originally from the Northeast, not good at keeping my mouth shut with things, even though they're not going to hear this. But what in the world? But my voice is out there. So here we go again. What in the world are people hoping to accomplish when they're mad at each other, yet they're abusing the animal, like this idiot that turned a hose on the cats? What for? They're innocent creatures and you're abusing them and throwing rocks. Trust me, I've had moments where I thought I was going to lose my head. I'm sure all of us have, whenever we had a bill problem or any bank issues or anything, you're on the phone 3 hours and you're ready to, but behaving indecent, like I wouldn't curse anybody out, even though I'd like to when that kind of thing happens. Behaving indecent, that's one thing on the phone, but behaving indecent to the animals. What the heck were they trying to do? The cats were all going to get up and walk away?
Yeah. So the issue is mostly that they don't understand. So what they saw was there's already existing cats, but it's on the other side of the fence. So it's not even on their side. But sometimes, you know, cats roam around. Right. So they roam around and maybe they go to the bathroom. And, you know, if they pee, then it smells really bad. And then that's a whole nother issue. So a lot of the landlords here in Los Angeles, still, they don't understand. So when people are leaving food outside, because like here on my street, there's tons of homeless cats that we have all fixed, but they're feral. So we have to leave out food for them or else, you know, they might as well.
Right. And if with leaving out food, you have to make sure you leave it out. And they, like you said, they eat at a certain time. Even we have one semi-feral in front of our house, Jethro, because he had a partner and then she passed. So we're still working on getting him in and getting him checked out. But the thing is, I have an issue when people leave out food all day because in certain places, besides, bugs, whatever, but where I am, raccoons and possums come out.
That's right.
They carry their own kind of crazy. I once looked at my window. There was two cats, a raccoon eating out of the bowl and a possum.
Oh my gosh.
I thought, oh my goodness. So yeah. Nothing against raccoons and possums, but they can stay in their part of the woods. I don't need them right around where I am. And then a lot of people that just leave food. It's one thing if the cats are fixed, but sometimes I heard this expression a couple of years ago, feeder breeders, but they don't try to get their cats trapped. And it's nice they're feeding, but you have to try to, you know, do something or call someone. Otherwise, they multiply so quick. I saw it when I tried to trap Sammy several years ago before I could get her trapped because she was sneaky, so hard to trap. She got pregnant again.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, because they can get pregnant. So you think they're off their mom by 8 weeks, and within another month, they could get pregnant. I mean, cats get pregnant so often. And you're exactly right. I just had a conversation with a woman yesterday who has rescued like 300 cats. And she's having that conversation with this woman who is feeding a cat that keeps coming to her door, and she's not doing anything else. And so my friend was saying, because you're feeding her, this is now your cat. So you need to take the responsibility. And now we saw that it had a paw, like it's got something on its paw. So, you know, we're telling her you need to take the next step. You can't just feed the cat, it's your cat. So yeah, absolutely. But getting back to like leaving food out, yeah, you can't, because we have hawks, we have raccoons, we have possums, we have all of those out here and, you know, around here, and squirrels and stuff like that. So yeah, you do. But there are real angels that every single day they go down to, you know, feed 30 cats in this community, 40 cats over here, and, you know, every night at like 9 o'clock or so. And, you know, and they have full-time jobs. I mean, they're just really just amazing, amazing people. And I did that for a while as well. It's exhausting and it's difficult, but, you know, if more people could do it, that would be great. And if more people were educated, then that's where every time I've gone to trap, I've talked to all the neighbors, because you have to do that because you're entering their premises. And I would say, here's what we're doing. It's actually going to help the cat situation here. It's not going to have the adverse effects. You know, some people think that, you know, and getting back to like in the UK and stuff, you know, their cats are sort of, I had a friend from Germany and I would have this conversation with her and she's like, well, I grew up, you know, with sort of barn cats. So the cats hang out with the rest of the stock and stuff. And I understand that, but in a city like LA, cats get eaten by coyotes, cats get hit by cars, people poison cats, you know, it's not really a safe. So it kind of makes me crazy sometimes. And I hope to, you know, I honor everybody's way. And here's some information. Like I know when I go to Edinburgh, I've changed, you know, I've sort of rearranged my show to speak to them in a way that hopefully they'll hear and be entertained. But yeah, everybody is different and I have to understand that as well. So
I actually had a guest on the show when I was talking about, you know, feeder breeders. Oh, they're terrible. This, and then it's like, well, everybody has their part in this whole spectrum of how we're all trying to, you know, be out there and help the cats. And even though, and you're right, a lot of times people are feeding because they see them roaming around and they don't realize that they're contributing to the problem or other potential problems. And you have to get into a certain time and pattern with them and all of that. But it's great that you're doing these shows and educating people in a humorous fashion. So they know it, that you're spreading the word. The more people that know about the problems we have with, you know, cats and how the overpopulation, the TNR, cats that are euthanized for just because there's overpopulation, the more the word's out, the more people will do something about it and adopt. So, or other, do some TNR, give back somehow, you know?
That's right.
Buy some food and bring it to your shelter that, you know, especially smaller shelters, because they have very small budgets. But also, you are educating people with your shows. And how can people find out more about you?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm on Facebook. I am also on Instagram at cindy.dandrea. I also have a website that I could put a link somewhere.
And everyone that's listening, we have a show page for every single show that you hear. So you can always go to PetLifeRadio.com, go to this episode, look for Cindy DeAndrea, and it'll have her information and a link to her website. Anything you wanted to mention that we didn't get a chance to?
I think that just to have people gain more understanding just about that the situation isn't so overwhelming, that there are people that can help, and to just reach out to those people. And that's how I found love, you know? I mean, for those of us who don't have human children, these are, as you said, these are our babies. Yeah. And these are my children. And, you know, I got to be a mom, you know, to my cats. And that was, and receive and give unconditional love, which was what I had always been searching for.
Well, I'm so glad Cats helped you and for all you do, you know, the shows, the communication, the educating people, all the, you know, TNR work you've done over the years. And I hope your shows go great. So again, thanks so much, Cindy, for coming on Catitude.
Thank you so much. And thank you for what you do.
I hope all of you enjoyed this show. Please take a look at Cindy's performances. I think some trailers on YouTube. It's Cindy DeAndrea. Her information, as mentioned, will be on the episode page for this show. Just go to Pet Life Radio, Catitude, look up her name, Cindy DeAndrea, and you'll find the link to her website. Thanks so much to my Catitude audience for listening. I appreciate you so much. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, Molly, Charlotte, and Jethro. I appreciate you guys. I now believe I do speak cat. So thank you for teaching me, crew. And of course, thanks to Mr. Nicky the doggy. And last but not least, thanks to my producer, Mark Winter, for making magic when we do our shows. He does such a great job editing. And hey, remember, lose the attitude. Have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.